So I started attempting to follow this Jesus back in 99, so 16 years ago. And these verses here, actually we didn't plan it, these are the lectionary verses. And these verses here I've heard many, many times. To love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in an honest moment, man, I have to let that verse, do I do that? Do I actually love my neighbor as myself? That's the thing that I think it's hard. The way of Jesus is difficult. And especially if your neighbor is unlike you. Especially if your neighbor is someone other than who you are. So love your neighbor as yourself is difficult. Amen? Anyone? Anyone, you're in the boat with me today? I want to take us somewhere, and it's a huge, huge topic this morning. And this could easily be a 7-part series, but I'm trying to condense it down to about 30 minutes. So good luck to me, I guess. I'm a bit nervous, I'm a bit scared, but at the same time, I hope it's helpful to you in your journey of faith. So I kind of feel like this, related to our topic, I kind of feel like this commercial.
You did it.
You solved Corman's enigma.
How did you do it, Professor?
Professor? No, I'm not a professor. I'm just here to see my daughter. She's a dance major. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Stay smart. Stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
So back in June, I went to a conference with Charlie. And I first heard about this topic back then. And then I've read a book. I've listened to a couple of podcasts. I've checked some resources online. It just feels like I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Okay, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this. It'll be delivered imperfectly to you. Okay, so I just wanted to share that. So to introduce our topic, Trudy Schaffner is going to come up and share a short story.
They were a people, and they lived a long time ago. No one is really sure how long ago they lived, but they were a people, and they had one thing to do, and that was to survive. It was the only job they had. It was to live through the day. And so they didn't really understand much around them. All they know is that they needed to stay one step ahead of the next creature or the next change in the weather, and it was all about survival. Food, shelter, sex ruled the day. They lived that way for many years, until one day there was a sage who appeared among them. And all of a sudden, for the first time, the sage could speak. No one had heard anything like this. Suddenly, language grew, and the sage said, "I think there is more to life than just surviving." And so the people grew and followed the sage, and they came to understand that there was more than just survival, that they were in relationship with the world. And so they came to believe that if they spoke certain things and they ate certain things in a ritualistic way, the gods would be appeased and they would be able to change the world. They would change their experience and their lives. They lived that way for many years until one day a new sage appeared among them. And this sage noticed that they could actually farm this land that they lived on. "We don't need to roam the lands looking for something. We can actually plant our food so we can live right here." So they started to form tribes and nations. You started to own this land that you didn't understand before. And that is when the violence started. Because now I own something, and that meant that someone could take it away from me. And so the people became cruel and violent at times because they had something they had to protect. War ruled the day. They lived that way for many years until one day a new sage appeared among them. And that sage said, "I don't think that we have to be violent. I think that there might be another way. What if there was a higher authority to help us live more at peace? What if we all agreed to live a certain way? And then you would agree not to take my land, and I wouldn't have to kill you when I saw you." The people obeyed the rules and the violence decreased, and they all followed that way for a while. They lived that way for many years until one day a new sage appeared among them. And this sage notices that with all of these rules, it sort of became oppressive. And I have some wisdom within me that tells me to do something different than what the rules state. I don't have room to live what I feel is a better way. And the people started to follow that idea. Then there was great industry and creation and science and technology. They discovered God wasn't something simply out there, but it was something in here. They lived that way for many years until one day a new sage appeared among them. And this sage noticed that the people had gotten sort of selfish. It was all about getting ahead and living based on merit. I wasn't killing anybody, but I wasn't caring for the other people or the planet around me either. So people started to follow that sage, and they cared about people that they had never even met. They began to realize that other stories matter, not just their own story. They lived that way for many years until one day the last sage appeared among them, and this sage saw something totally different. This sage saw every level that people had gone through. This sage stepped back and saw every type of people group that was in the world. This sage saw how the past had been and how the future could be, and the people started following that sage. They lived that way for many, many years.
Cool. Thank you, Trudy. So, by way of introductory, sages coming to the scene and saying, maybe there's a better way. There's a better way. So there's lots of ways we can learn. I thought just maybe a short story would help us just with the introduction of it. So we're going to dive into this topic of spiral dynamics. And then it's like, wow, what is that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of spiral dynamics. Just raise your hand real quick. So we got 1, 2, 3. About 7 of us, maybe 8, 9, 10, okay? So it's very, very new for y'all, and I'll try to go slow, but I need to go quick because it's a large topic. So spiral dynamics, 1970, Claire Graves. It's an integrated model to understand human consciousness and how it forms civilizations. I'm going to use the word integral a lot, and this is Ken Wilber. This is the book that I read. It's called A Theory of Everything by Ken Wilber right here. So Ken Wilber says this about integral. He says, the word means to integrate, to bring together, to join, to link, to embrace. Not in a sense of uniformity, but in a sense of unity in diversity, shared commonalities along with our wonderful differences. Okay, I'll also say a couple other words, meme and V-meme. A meme is a sequence of biological information that replicates or sociological information that self-replicates. Example, okay, because I don't even know what those words mean. So example of this is like a guy buys flowers for a girl and it helps them to reproduce later. Someone's going to see that, okay, and say and copy and replicate that sort of way of living. Make sense? Another one is this. I do city life ministry. I have lots of relationships with urban teens, and I'm also friends with them on Facebook. And about every fifth post that I see is a video of someone fighting. So this is a meme. This is a, hey, when you have conflict, the way you work that out is you throw your fist, okay? I see this all the time throughout my, I can't even look at my Facebook feed without, it's like, oh, lots of violence. It's how you work out, so it's a meme. So there's a meme, and the V meme is the container and how you think. It's a group of memes together. The memes are horizontal differences among human beings. So you've got culture, color, gender, actions, lifestyle. A V meme is much deeper. Okay, it's much deeper, and such as deep leveled belief systems or a core way of thinking. Before we get to the spiral here in just a second, which involves colors, which is why we have this here. Just so now you know. Okay, all right. Is that not just individuals, but organizations, churches, communities, nations, continents, we all travel through this spiral. Let's think also in terms of not stages 1, 2, and 3, and 4, but they're assigned colors for a reason. Because I want you to repeat this with me, okay? Because all are important and all are valid, okay? Let's just say this. All important, all valid, okay? All right, so we have to keep that in our mind. So what lens we also another thing, what lens we look through throughout our lives changes. I'm going to talk about transitions. We're going from one color to the next in just a moment. And the last thing I want to say is this. Focus not on types of people, but types in people. Okay, there's a difference there. Not types of people, but different types, different colors in people. All right, so buckle up. Make sure your seats are in an upright position, because they are, they're pews. But you may want to keep your tray tables down to take notes, because it's going to be a whirlwind. So it's a bit heady, but we're going to get back to our lectionary verses this morning of loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay? All right, so we're going to start with beige. We're going to start with this archaic understanding, consciousness of it's really about food, shelter, it's basic living, it's safety, it's survival mode. If someone were to walk in here and say, fire, we would all go to our beige level of thinking, and we're going to get out of the building. We're going to grab the children, and we're going to get out. That's beige. It's survival. Okay? This is a homeless and hungry person looking for the next meal. This is a drug addict looking for the next hit. Everything is material. There's no idea or conscious thinking about something immaterial or like a God figure or anything like that. This is just everything is material in their life. It's pre-ego. And in Corinthians, Paul says this, in Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me, okay? So sort of this beige, primal, archaic way of thinking. Purple is next, it's tribal. They figured, hey, instead of being alone and up to ourselves for survival, we can join together and form tribes. We're going to form tribes for survival, social identities, tribal customs. Life is dependent on not just us, but it's dependent on the sun, on the rain, on forces that are even unseen. Okay, magical stage, luck, fate, superstition lives here. Okay, I have a friend. If you're in his basement watching like the Cubs game, he'll have you. If things are going well, you can't move. If things are not going well, you have to sit over on a different part of the couch, right? Superstition sort of comes into play here, right? His name's Sean. the shaman has the power in a tribal society. The village elder. It's the person who can appease the gods. Okay, it's people here in purple feel disempowered. They need the favor and the blessings of the gods. It's a third world setting. It's gangs. It's athletic teams. It's Cubs fans. This is tribalism at its worst, right? Okay, even today when we go out and we cheer on for the Packers and we cheer on, it's a tribal sort of. We all have beige in us, like we're going to get out of the building, but we also have purple in us. Yeah, that's our tribe. That's who we're rooting for. Those are our people. Okay, my son Hudson is 4 years old. the world to him, he discovers something new almost every day. It's like the whole world is Disney World. The whole world is Disneyland. It's like there's a sense of awe. There's a sense of wonder. There's a sense of like, and we're just like calm down. It's just Peoria. Okay, so like there's this red, and you go from purple into this red sort of understanding, this red consciousness, and so this is power. This is dominance. This is warrior. You will not sit by. You will rise up, and you will take control of your own life. Okay, my tribe over your tribe. This is Billy Madison. O'Doyle rules. Okay, right? I can do something with my... This is the birthplace of ego, which is actually good because, like Richard Rohr says, you can't die to an ego you don't have. Okay? So it's the birthplace of ego. It's motivational speakers. It's my two-year-old daughter who has got a little red in her already, and she says, no. She's rising up. She's saying, I'm not going to fall to your, you know, and then I threw it on the ground, you know? Like, you know, I'm not going to fall in line with your system. Right? That was a SNL thing. But this is, red is the birthplace of rap music. Okay? It's Eminem. It's a song called Lose Yourself. And there's a verse we're going to listen to. And there's no swear words in the song, but there are some derogatory words used for women. So I apologize for that, but I want to listen to it just so to give you a sense of this power, this red, this warrior thing. So go ahead with the song. Souls escaping through this hole that is gaping. This world is mine for the taking. Make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring, but superstardom's close to postmortem. It only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over. These holes is all on him. Coast to coast shows, he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely roads, God only knows he's grown farther from home. He's no father. He goes home and barely knows his own daughter. Your nose, cause here goes the cold water. These hoes don't want him no more. He's cold product. They moved on to the next mole who flows. He knows dove and sold nada. So the soul barber is told it unfolds. I suppose his old partner, but the beat goes on. Da 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 da. All right. Do you see red in there? It's going from a disempowered, like, tribal understanding to, like, you got to rise up. You need to, you know, it says, make me king, rise up, power, it's dominance. Birthplace of lots of rap music is from here. Blue traditional is the next color. And this is, like, not a dictator, like a person to kind of lead us, our warrior kind of person. But there's submission to a higher authority. There's a law. There's Moses going up the mountain to bring down the Ten Commandments. It's sacred text. Life has meaning. It has direction. It has purpose now. It's right versus wrong. It's paternalistic. It's sacrifice of self towards a greater cause. It brings order and it gives code is born here. So AA programs. NA programs. It takes red folks and gives them structure. It takes those folks to provide that. It's a new way to interact with the world. It's a new way to live. It brings order. Fundamentalism is born here. What does the Bible say? And that's what I believe. It's also this. It's really there's just one story in the world that matters. It's the story of Christians, or it's the story of America. It's my tribe. There's only one story that sort of matters in this. So, like, there's this worship song that when I hear it, I'm like, ugh, okay. Chris Tomlin has a song called Our God. Our God is greater, our God is high. I cannot sing. He is, you know, and so this Our God, and like these lyrics, and if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against us? It's our tribe versus others. It's this blue understanding. It's a traditional understanding. Another thing that I thought was well represented here, so let's go to this.
I'm here with Ray Lewis, and Ray, you told us last night that you believe that you guys could come in here and break the Broncos' 11-game winning streak. What allowed you to believe you could do so?
No weapon thrown shall prosper.
So can you see the red transitioning into blue here? It's like this red dominant warrior figure on the field, and he's going to call and he's going to say that God has brought us victory. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Or it's even a purple understanding. It's like we've appeased the gods because we worked so hard, and now he's blessed us. Does this make sense? You guys see this in culture? Okay. So there's that. And then I'm going to talk about orange. There's a transition that happens. So imagine a high school student who is born in a blue world, who's born in a blue country, in a blue family, and goes to a blue church. Okay. And that person graduates high school, and then they go off to college, and they land in an orange environment. okay? Imagine what happens when, for the first time, that student begins to hear things that their tribe has never talked about, begins to hear things that are against what they've grown up with. Make sense? Which makes Thanksgiving break a little bit awkward when you come home, right? And you start sharing your new things that you've been learning, and your parents begin to pray for your salvation all over again, okay? So there's this orange, so this modern mindset, form of consciousness. So logic, age of reason, scientific method. It loves data. Data, tell me the facts. Who's qualified? It's all based on merit. You look at authority and you question it. You look at authority and you question it. It's the self escapes the herd mentality. All right. Does the sun revolve around the earth, or is the opposite true? It's asking those questions. Give me the facts. And then is it young earth or old earth? Is it 6-day creation or not? What social media tool do we see? A lot of red arguing, a lot of angry things about blue conversation. It's driven by the orange people, okay? All right, they question everything. But orange is great because it's MIT, it's IBM, it's TED Talks, it's entrepreneurial. So a case for faith, a case for Christ, a case for the resurrection, apologetics. Okay, you with me here? So apologetics is taking a blue understanding, a blue traditional mindset, and using, so it's blue theology with an orange methodology, okay? So you're using facts, data, things to back up your beliefs, okay? All right, so this is orange, and I'll move on to green. So this is where the postmodern mindset comes, or postmodern consciousness. First place where we see that other stories begin to matter. Other stories, not just your tribe, but all tribes. It's Martin Luther King. It's the minority story. It's women's suffrage. It's the gay story. It's the unborn life story. The military life. Muslim. All stories matter. It's becoming more, not ethnocentric, your tribe, but it's an understanding of being more world-centric. It's PC, it's green, it's ecology, it's Canadian healthcare. All right, it's Greenpeace. It's the movie Poverty Inc., if you've seen this. I haven't yet. My wife says it's amazing. and green hates hierarchy. It hates it. So if someone came in here and yelled fire, the green people would sit around and say, what should we do next? Let's just talk about how everyone can benefit. No, you get out, okay? All right. So like they sit around, they talk, right? So let's have a little fun here. Let's have a little fun. It's a little heady, but yes, let's have some fun. What colors would this commercial lend itself to? Go.
It's not about hugging trees. It's not about being wasteful either. You just gotta find that balance. Or taking care of yourself takes care of more than just yourself. That's the sweet spot.
What colors? Where is this? Go. Where is this? Green? Orange? Some red? How so red? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Sex is like really... sorry. Red is sexy. Red is like, you know, you're going to drive around in this Lincoln and it's the thing. It's good. It's power. It's dominance. It's I make more money than you kind of thing. Right. Totally get it. Yeah. What else have we heard? Orange? Yeah. Yeah. You bet. Huh?
Join the tribe, drive a Lincoln.
Yeah, join the tribe, drive a Lincoln. You bet. About hugging trees. It's not about hugging trees. Not being about wasteful either. My story. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So a good commercial would speak to all colors. Right? You want to, you know, but beiges are not really concerned about a car because they're really concerned about their next meal. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that beige is going to go towards. It makes sense. So there's that. And then we sang a song earlier, Us for Them. I like almost tear up when I hear this song. So what colors does this play a part in? Go ahead.
When the lights are drawn, when you're in or out, when it's us or them, and we shame the doubt, it's all a lie. All we ever really need is love. There's no need to shed more blood.
So that's like the first part of the song, and then the bridge later, or the ending part. Go ahead with this one. This is great.
We will not fight their wars. We will not fall in line. Cause if it's us or them, it's us for them, it's us for them. We reject the either or. They can't define us anymore. Cause if it's us or them, it's us for them, it's us for them.
So where's this song? Go. Orange. Why do you say orange?
I mean, like, the first verse is a direct representation of modern evangelical
officials. Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Other, anything else? Other colors that you see here? Yeah.
I see this is very much of a green and showing very anti-red.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. So like, it's just all around us. Everything. Music, movies, sermons, churches, organizations. What happens if you are an orange person working for a blue organization? And then there's constant like sort of friction. There's constant sort of like, they don't get me, I don't get them kind of thing, you know? So that happens. That happens a lot. Next slide is this. There's this sort of, as you go throughout the spiral, you sort of weave back and forth because it's a spiral. You're kind of on the left side, you're kind of on the right side. And you go from this, the beige is really me focused. And then you go to a purple, it's tribal, it's we. And then red, it's like you rise up, it's me focused again. And then you go back to this blue understanding, it's we. And then orange asks the questions, me. It's going back and forth, we and me and we and me the whole time. So I think it's fascinating. So I want to talk just briefly about second tier. So this has all been first tier consciousness, okay? It's all sort of first tier. So this is a second tier, and they believe that 2% of the world's population has gone into this yellow form. And I read something online that it talked about spirit and flesh, which really kind of illuminates the second tier kind of thinking for me. So spirit focused or flesh focused. So I know for me, if I'm in a blue meme, if I'm in the blue sort of stage, then I think that I'm right. Same for red, same for all the colors, purple. And so you've sort of like, you can't see the value of the other memes. But getting to a second tier, you start to see value that all are important and all are, what did we say earlier, valuable? all are important and what? Valid, all important and valid. So when I look at Galatians 5, I say walk by the Spirit, okay, second tier, Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, your meme, your first tier consciousness, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under the law. So this this is where like integral theology is born, integral theory. 2% of the world's population, they believe, have gone through green now to yellow. And at this point, you no longer look forward or backwards. You no longer look forward or backwards, okay? But you begin to see all of them in yourself. You begin to see all of the colors in yourself. It's your own growth, your own development. So transition, I want to go to the transitions now. How do you move? Well, we usually move as people or as organizations. We move as people when the place where you're at no longer seems to work. It no longer seems to work. Your boxes have been crushed. Pain and suffering, okay? Maybe you had an experience of a cross-cultural experience, like maybe you've been to Honduras, and you came back and it's like, wow, other tribes, other stories, other things matter, right? It's a mission trip. It's in your neighborhood, right next to you. Someone, a Muslim moves in, and you interact with them. You're like, wow, fascinating. And you begin to love them. Make sense? Okay? So you have this sort of thing. So I'm going to talk about transcend and include in just a minute. But if you want to look at transition, there's a great story in Acts 11 with Peter. Peter falls into a trance, and God says to wake up, to kill, and eat. This is not what Peter's about. This blows up his blue, okay? And he moves. His, like, oh my gosh, Gentiles. He moves, okay, into a expanded level of consciousness. So development and growth is going from the egocentric to an ethnocentric. Ego about me, ethno about my tribe, to a world-centric kind of thing, okay? Development, in fact, is when we become less and less egocentric, okay? Less and less narcissistic. And we have an increasingly awareness of other people's stories, a greater love, a greater grace towards them. Okay? Transcend and include. We generally look, remember what stage we're at? We look forward in fear, and we look back with disdain. We look forward, blue can't handle the orange questions. It's fearful. It's like it's a slippery slope. You look back, like, look at those tribal people rooting for the Cubs, right? You know, even higher intellectuals, like, what's the deal with sports? We don't get it, right? They can't have, like, they can't even get into it. So so you look back with disdain, you look forward with fear. A couple things about, so you transcend, but you have to include, you have to recognize that, you know, you were here, you were there, okay? We could talk some examples about that in a minute when we talk about application. But does your head hurt yet? Anyone? Okay. I wanted to share the next thing, but it's a little too graphic. I'm just providing space for us to laugh. To catch our breath. This is a little too graphic. Okay, it's a little too graphic. I get it. All right, let's move on. I thought it'd be better than that. So, Richard Rohr writes this. He helps me understand stages and states. Okay, stages and states. I think I saw that in Jimmy Fallon, a little too graphic. So, credit where credit's due. Richard Rohr says this. This is great. Your state is your inner aliveness, and your stage is your outer awareness. Outer awareness would be like green, okay? All right, so your state is your inner aliveness, and your stage is your outer awareness. The goal is to be both holy and whole, saintly and wise. But your state and your stage don't always coincide. I find this fascinating. Many of us are stronger in one area or the other, so he fleshes that out here. Perhaps you know people who are compassionate and kind and yet still have prejudiced attitudes. They may seem hypocritical but are simply at a high state but yet a low stage. Love will win out in them and goodness will flow through them even if they don't have the gift of teaching or understanding complex or contradictory issues. They are holy but not whole, saintly but not smart. or may make, as Teresa of Avila said, the kind of spiritual directors who just aren't helpful. But today we have a larger, we have a different problem. Today there are large segments of the population with the opposite problem, high stages of intellectual exposure with very low levels of unitive consciousness. Very smart, but without awe, without humility, and without love. We can see this everywhere, right? Many examples to share on that. So what does a fully integral vision of the world look like? Well, if you took the world's population, boiled it down to 100 people, it looks like this. 57 Asians, 21 Europeans, I won't read the rest, you can see it. 30 white, 79 white. What about this? 100 people, world's population. Six people would possess 59% of the world's wealth, and all six would be from the U.S. 80 would live in substandard housing, 70 would be unable to read, 50 would suffer from malnutrition, one would have a college education, and one would own a computer. No matter where you are in your color, a healthy red, a healthy blue, a healthy orange, a healthy green would say, A, this ain't right, and then B, would actually do something about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the integral vision of the world. This is expanding consciousness. This is what it would look like. So what about the biblical text? What about the biblical narrative? Let's go there real quick, and then we'll kind of do some application, all right? Make sense? Are you ready? All right, so I don't have anything else funny. The little too graphic was, that was all I had. So I'm sorry. So So biblical narrative. So Adam, God has a way of meeting people where they're at. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. God meets Adam where he's at in a beige, archaic understanding. God couldn't sit down with Adam and say, now Adam, I'm the all in all and I'm above all. Adam's not going to understand that. Adam's not going to get that. All right? It'd be like me telling Sage, my 2-year-old, hey, here are all my life experiences, and I don't want you to repeat them, so just, and you can just take the ball and run from there. That's not going to happen. I have to meet Sage at Sage's level. So he does this with Adam. He does this further with Purple with Abraham. He meets Abraham on what level? A tribal level. Genesis 12, 2. I will make you a great nation, a tribe. You will be a blessing. You'll be blessed and be a blessing to others. Okay, so then we have red, we have early Israel. What's the best way they knew how to relate to God? Conquer. To defeat other nations. God is on our side. It's Ray Lewis. Okay? God is on our side. He has blessed our efforts. Okay? Early Israel, late Israel, early Christianity. Now we have law, we have order, we have hierarchy, we have temple, we have priest. There's a new way to be in the world. There's a new way in this blue understanding, this traditional mindset. And this is where Jesus enters the picture. Okay? Orange and green, modern and postmodern. Man, there are seeds of orange and green and yellow even all throughout the Gospels. You look at the parable of the talents, the parable of the shrewd steward. You look at any teachings, it's like, let your light shine and give glory to God. You are the salt of the earth. These are very orange teachings. Green, first church, early church, community. Everyone's needs are met. It's caring for the poor and the oppressed. It's green, okay? So there are just sprinkled, like everywhere throughout the biblical narrative. So why did Jesus come at a blue point in history? Why didn't he just come later, like an orange or green or beige even? Why did he come to start a new religion? Did he come to start this thing called Christianity? Or did he come to change the way we think, the way we interact, the way we love in the world? Okay? Jesus comes in a blue traditional time in history, but the story of Jesus is alive and well in every color. In every color, because all are important and all are valid. I see Jesus, like in Matthew 5, he says 5 different times, he says, you've heard it said. You've heard it said, but I tell you. Jesus is pulling us forward through the spiral to a different understanding. It's spirit, not flesh. It's spirit, not flesh. He has come to make all things new. So going back to Mark 12, our scripture this morning, how does this knowledge, this understanding of spiral dynamics, the colors, okay? I just realized I missed something. Reason to Sing, that's a transitional song. When all fades away, or not when all fades away, but everything, you just sort of lose where you're at. Reason to Sing. So sorry, I missed it. I should have just let it go. I'll pick it up later. All right, so application. So open source application this morning. I could tell you how I seek to apply some of the stuff in my life. It's illuminating to me, especially with the ministry I'm in with urban teens. Hello, I understand. I get it. So in light of this, so as you are sitting here receiving this, a lot of us for the first time, what's your initial gut, like what's your initial reaction to any of this? And how does it relate to loving our neighbors? Illuminating? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to find Jesus in red. Okay. Where can we find, does any story from scripture, does any, your understanding of who Jesus is? Let's talk about Jesus in red. Let's do it. I love it. I'm not challenging you. I'm just, yeah. Who's got one? Yeah. Yes. Clearing of the temple, potentially. Okay. I like that. Yeah. Conquering sin, conquering death. You bet. Resurrection. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Red. Rise up. Empowerment. It's really about empowerment. It's going from purple. You can change the world. You can, you know, it's a healthy red. Okay. There's stages and states, right? Stage is a high state or a low state. You can be green, but you can be a racist. No, well, maybe you can't. But you can, you know, you could exist over here, but you could have prejudice, you know? So, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Our only war is love. Yeah, yeah. It's a different kind of weapon. You bet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally good. Yeah. Your neighbor might not be the same color. Your family member might not be in the same color that you are, right? I heard this too, like leadership is not trying to get people to go from one color to the next. Leadership is about how do you help, I don't know if I should do this, but I'm going to. I feel like I'm an orange kind of person, all right? But I work for a blue organization. I can't try to convince all my staff people my way. You know what I'm saying? But I can help them maybe become the best blues that they can be. Healthiest blues. You know what I'm saying? Make sense? Okay. When we were at this conference, Charles, this is like the highlight of the conference, Rob Bell spoke on this, and he's like, you ever go through TBN and you land on Joel Osteen? Right? And you're sitting there and you just sort of don't get it. Like, this is so, like, simple. This is so, how does he have an arena full of people, right? How does this happen, you know? But Joel Osteen is preaching to who? He's preaching to a generation that did not grow up with any blue or red. And he's giving empowerment to purple. And he's pulling them forward. Make sense? All right? So it's like, it's so simple. It's so, you know, we could talk theology and all that kind of stuff. But he's like, you can do it. And people are like, cheer, you know, but he's empowering. Make sense? Okay. So y'all get that? Okay. Other thoughts, loving our neighbor.
I think sometimes you have to step outside your color to draw people with you. So like if you're living in orange, sometimes you have to step into red to pull people from beige into the next level. So that there's people on your demographic who don't have basic needs. Well, you can step up and empower them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Jesus did the same thing. I mean, he was moving from the traditional to the postmodern.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thoughts. Anything else?
Empowering self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, empowering self-esteem. Amen. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, you can talk, man. Welcome back, Charlie. Yes. Amen. It's a good word. It's not enough to recognize the many ways that we're different. It's not enough. We have to go further, and we need to start recognizing in the many ways that we are similar. It's recognizing the Imago Dei in us, in ourselves, and in also others. And this helps me with loving my neighbor as myself. So leading into communion, we're going to do this song, Christ Like New Skin. Our prayer is to be a blessing to those who cause suffering. We will serve ridiculous feasts, invite all that we love and adore, and even those who we wish not walk through the door. Okay? Let's pray, and we'll end with communion. So God, we love you. We thank you for just the opportunity to be here in this place. God, help us just to take what we've learned, to take these ideas, and how does that help us love you better? How does that help us love our neighbor better, even though there are differences? But when we go further, Father, may we see that we're all part of one human tribe. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.